Hello everyone and welcome back to the Cyclocross Social podcast. The night race in Dichem, always a special one. We are here to discuss it late at night. Well, I am here and as always, joining me, Issam. Thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me.
I always love Dichem. The atmosphere is special. Well, I mean, it's a different type of atmosphere because Dichem, Loenhout, you could see it today, were special races. The people that go to those races are a lot of people who only come for the party. These are the two biggest beer races of Belgium. You could see it today. I think during the women's race, there was a fight and you could see the police running to them. During like the turbo race, there was a guy streaking on the football field. A lot going on there, always wild crowds, and today no different. Last year, Mathieu van der Poel got some middle fingers, but this year they were all treating him nicely. Maybe because Van Aert wasn't there, maybe because they learned their lesson. I obviously hope the second, but Van der Poel today went for an interesting approach in the race. He obviously was the top favorite, but for the first half of the race, he sat in the wheels, and in the wheels was quite literally a peloton at the front of the race of some 12 riders. Then after some 25 minutes, he thought, well, it's been enough for today. Playtime is over. He launched an annihilating attack through the sand pit. You saw Van Tournaut looking like, what is going on here? Van der Poel just blew away the sand pit, the barriers. He had 7 seconds already on the rest. Pidcock, the other big name in the race, he was doing all right in the first part of the race, but the tendency of his race was that he was struggling in the sand. That was the case when Van der Poel attacked. He tried to respond after that, but there was no way he was closing that gap. The win went to Mathieu van der Poel. Pidcock, despite his struggles in the sand, was in the fight for second place against Eli Iserbeet. Pidcock, every lap needed to make up the time he lost in the sand section. The last lap was no different for that. He put in a full sprint and he set in an aggressive dive into the final corner before the stairs, overtook Iserbeet and claimed second place ahead of Eli Iserbeet, who secured the Super Prestige win. Wow, Issam, that attack by van der Poel. It's just insane to watch the difference in speed. He just carves his own line into the sand pit. He just storms through. I could hardly tell he was riding through a sand pit. That level of skill for that, that's like special. We know Van der Poel is a good rider in the sand, always been well in Kokside, but also here, that was just a special attack. And I think that look by Van Tournaut there, that said everything. Van Tournaut was just looking like, surely this can't continue, like you have to be tired, but tired is not in the dictionary of Mathieu van der Poel.
No, I think that it was, again, a display of power. I think that we definitely have to thank him for the way he approached the first half of the race, making sure that there was some suspense in it. And then after that attack, you know, you said Van Tournaut tried to cover that, but there was not much to cover. I mean, it was done and dusted in a way, and I think that it was a great display, as I've said. And there's not much you can do. I mean, Van Tournaut really tried. He really thought, maybe believed somewhere that the attack was only going to be for a short while and then it would kind of drop. But Van der Poel definitely didn't have any idea of stopping that attack, or at least dropping the pace. And from there, it was very clear. If we didn't have any other indication in the last couple of races that there is just a level difference between the guys, you know, at the front, and Van der Poel, who is just at the moment the stronger guy. And it's just great to see how he goes through the circuit and through the course again, because it was just again a display of dominance and, you know, a world champion worthy ride again. And I think that it's just great to see. And luckily, we got a great battle for second, I guess, behind Van der Poel.
Yeah, with how good Van der Poel is, that is indeed the type of battles we are looking at most. It's just a shame to see Pidcock struggle so much in the sand. It's something that's been a running theme for him. Those worlds in Ostend a couple of years ago, 2021, those were no good for him. He struggled there as well. He got beaten by Don Aerts there. Last year in Dichem, his sand pit skills were on and off. The pit was a bit more rutted. This is one of the hardest sand pits of the year. And then I'm talking like artificial sand pits, not a dune like in Mol or in Kokseide. No, like the artificial sand pits, this is so hard. The sand is so thick, it requires a lot of power. the ruts erase themselves, it's super difficult, and Pidcock just does not have sand skills. They're just not there. Every time there's sand, Pidcock will suffer, he will struggle. It's unfortunate, because today, well, we can speculate, could he have followed Van der Poel? Maybe. Would he have won? Probably not. But it doesn't matter. I think it caused him a lot of issues. His Thursday night became a lot less pleasant due to it. But what I like to see was that he still had that determination to end second. He is a rider who is just racing for fun, for the starting money. He doesn't have any ambitions for worlds or anything. He's just going for what I just mentioned. But he was still pretty aggressive. He could have easily sat up in the final lap. Okay, I'll end third. No, he went all out. And that move on Izabeth in the final corner was pretty aggressive. I think it was completely fine. Aggressive is fine. But it definitely showed some determination there. And I like that. I respect that. And yeah, it's good. I think he also learned something from last year. Last year, he made his move on Van Aert a little bit too early and paid the price for it in that same section there. This year, none of that. That race and last year, by the way, was so, so good. It's one of the best races out of the last years. That was so good. But yeah, today, Pidcock, yeah, it was good. And I think Izabeth can also be satisfied because he secured the overall Super Prestige win.
Yeah, totally. And again, in the mix. So I think that, of course, as you have pointed out, Pidcock was definitely struggling in the sand sections. But yeah, I think that you can, that doesn't take any credit away from the ride of Izabeth. I think that Izabeth showed great heart, was up there and tried to make the race for second. And, you know, in the end, that move by Pidcock was perfect. Perfectly timed. Izabeth definitely didn't expect it in a way. And then when it happened, you know, you're done. There's not much you can do at that point because you have the stairs and then the finish. And when you go up the stairs, it's quite hard to go side by side. So you will always be behind. And from there, you cannot really overtake, you know, unless the rider in front of you makes a mistake or doesn't really have the energy anymore. So Pidcock was full of energy. So that wasn't the issue. But I think, as you said, you know, the Super Prestige is secured. It was probably, in my opinion, already secured third race into the season, but then you still have to complete it, and I think that he did a very good job. And again, as I've said already in Oezes Older, and I will say it again, it's just for Izabeth, it's a very, very solid season, and it's just great to see him, you know, do his thing and just try to have the best race that he can ride. And today it was third, yesterday was second, and that's how he has to approach these races, because the big three, in a way, they have entered the season already, and they are, at the moment, it looks like they are just that little bit better, one better than the other. And you can do two things: you can kind of give up, or you can try to make the most out of it. And I feel that he is doing that second option. He's just trying to make the most out of it, and it looks very good. And I just hope that he can continue that in the next couple of races. And you know, I hope that he can maybe, next to the classifications, how good that is looking at the moment, you know, see what he can do at the championship, because I think that is also that could just add that little extra to his season so far, which has already been going very well.
Let's look at the entire top 10 then. Behind the podium of Van der Poel, Pidcock and Izabeth, we find Michael van Turenhout. Finally a good day for the European champion. Fifth place went to Joris Nieuwenhuis. Have to rectify something. In the Gavere podcast, we mentioned that there was an issue with the finger of Thibaut Nijs. It was, in fact, the finger of his teammate, Joris Nieuwenhuis. Joris Nieuwenhuis had an issue with his finger. He was in the emergency room until midnight the day before Zolder, but luckily the finger isn't broken, so he's fine to race. Sixth place went to Quinten Hermans, ahead of Emil Verstringen. Eighth was Lander Loeks, ahead of Warthuis, and Michael Boros completed the top 10. Isam, let's talk about that race by Quinten Hermans, because it's pretty impressive. He crashed on that first off camber. That was way, way too audacious what he was trying there. He came in way too hot. No surprise that he lost it there in the women's race. We saw Kat Ferguson having similar difficulties on that line. But his recovery race through the field from like 30th to 6th, that's pretty impressive.
Absolutely, and it's crazy that I think, especially if I speak for myself, I criticize him a little bit, and it can turn around in a way, but it's just hard to to guess where the riders are at the moment, because as we have said earlier, you know, he's a guy that also has to take care of his road program and has to make sure that he will be there on the road. And today was a much better ride from Hermans. It looked very good, fought his way back, and I think that it's definitely in the upwards trajectory, and it's very good to see, because we know that he has the potential to be a very good cyclocross rider and to be someone that can potentially, if you count off the big three, then he's definitely someone that could fight for podiums. It just didn't show in the first couple of races, but I guess he needed a little bit more time, and let's see what the next couple of races will bring. But especially on a course like Diegem, which is, you know, a bit fast, but also this kind of typical Belgium race, flats in a way, but has like the small punchy kind of hills and turning around left and right and accelerating and decelerating again, and, you know, getting off your bike, the sand pits that are there as well. So it has everything that you need kind of in this period to be good. And yeah, it's good to see that he kind of finds his rhythm in on a course like this. And I hope for him that he can find that in the next couple of races where he will attend. And if he can improve on this, I think then that his objective of trying to go for a podium is definitely going to be more realistic at Tabor than it was a week ago. And I think that is definitely a good look for him, and hopefully he can, you know, make those improvements, make those steps, and get closer and closer to the form that he wants to be and that should be needed to fight for a podium.
Well, he will need to. He first of all needs to convince his team manager to let him race there, but that's another discussion. It was a good result by him. I think Emil Verstringen in seventh is a rider who's in a good period at the moment, and really in this type of, or like in this phase of the season, when you have so many races behind each other, it's about the momentum. This is a rider, he won in Namur the U23 race, was third in Antwerp, then ninth between the elites and Gavre, and now seventh in Diegem. Differences between Gavre and Diegem in terms of course are pretty significant, but yeah, he's a rider who's on a good form level. He's feeling it, and you see the results come. They come naturally, and the same goes for Wart Huibs, who was ninth. That's a solid result by him as well, and we discussed him yesterday in Zolder, so we're not going to do that again. Lander Loeks in eighth was between the two. Good results for the Tour de Tietema Unibet rider. He finds a course that suits him. He is a rider who does fairly well on these fast courses, hence also the reason that he's going to focus more on road racing. I would still like to mention Michal Boros in 10th, good ride for the rider from Elk of Kasper. The Czech rider did fairly well. This is his first top 10 in a major race this season. He's getting a bit older. He's past the 30 mark. It's still good to see him up there, and it was nice to see some different flags towards the back end of the top 10. Marcel Meissen, 11th, was actually super surprised to see him there. He's been off the radar for a super long time. He just hasn't had it this season. Last season was also tough for him, but I recall 2 seasons ago he was right up there in races like Namur fighting for the top results. So that was good to see. Same goes for Bertolini, who ended 15th. And then finally, I would like to mention the DNF of Thibaut Nys. He was up there. It didn't look great. It didn't look horrible. Positioning looked a bit off for him, because positioning is key on this course. It's almost like a half road race. He crashed on the off camber, hurt his knee or his foot. So let's see what comes from that. He retired from the race out at the pits there. His initial response was to continue, but he couldn't. So let's hope that's fine. Then let's go and talk about the women's race. Isam, that was not a close affair. We had Inge van der Heijden lead out the pack in the first lap with Puk Pietersen, but on the big road climb, Pietersen attacked and dropped van der Heijden once they reached the barriers. Pietersen from there went solo towards victory. Fem van Empel wasn't there, Lucinda Brandt wasn't there, but Sandra Carmen Alvarado was there. She was fighting for the lead in the Super Prestige against Annemarie Worst. But Alvarado got held up in the first corner, or one of the first corners. There was a start crash there. Alvarado held up and needed to move her way through the field. She did well, ended second ahead of Inge van der Heijden, who rode another solid race. interesting dynamics up there. Is some Pieterse taking her second win in a row. Of course, not a clean race for Alvarado, but Pieterse looked good, and it's a further confirmation of what we saw in Havre. Pieterse seems to become slightly better with every race she does.
Yeah, and I think that in a way that has to do probably with the confidence gained from Havre, and I think that is mentally is very important, I guess, and that also gives you the confidence to open the race as she did. And yeah, then if you have good legs, then you can showcase them. And especially on a course like this, we have seen that Alvarado just was so compromised with not the best of starts, but especially after that turn one where she got held up. And yeah, it's just at that point, it's very hard to try and make up for the time lost. And it's super easy to, when you are a little more behind, when you're trying to close up, you just kind of, you know, the risk is there to blow your engine, and you're just so compromised in terms of racing that it's just, yeah, the second place was for Alvarado the highest achievable, and she did just that. And also, I wouldn't say secured the Super Prestige, because there is still a race to go, but it looks definitely very good for her now with the comfortable lead to second place Annemarie Vorst. So yeah, I think for Pieterse, a very good race with a great victory. And again, just more and more confidence and believing in the process. Yeah, it's looking better and better. And that's kind of what we were looking forward to in this period. Where are we going to see that progress? And thankfully for Pieterse, the progress is there. And thankfully for the women's category, it looks like we are heading towards not one, but two favorites. And who knows who can add that name to the favorites as well for the Worlds. But if we focus on the race of today, you know, very good ride from Pieterse and Alvarado. You know, despite the mishaps, I think a very good and solid result from her as well, and a very good ride.
Yeah, I'm still hoping to get a clean battle between all of them and see who does well. We should get some of that in Hulst. I think all of them are at the start. They're not racing in Lunhout tomorrow. The start list there will be pretty damn sad, especially for a classic like Lunhout. But yeah, we should be in for a treat, hopefully, in Hulst with a clean battle. I don't think that Inger van der Heide is a rider who can reach that level, but it's the second day in a row she ends third. I think she can be happy. And I mean, in the end of the race, Blanca Vars looked like potentially coming close. She didn't in the end, but I might need to retract my words earlier about her. I had serious doubt that she would be able to come back like this. What I saw from her in Oosterwijk, first race of the season, was really, really good. But then after that, collarbone injury, of course, it was fractured, broken. It was no good. But yeah, what do you think, Isam? Vash looked good again today. Am I in the wrong with my doubts about her returning to the level she had?
I wouldn't call it in the wrong, because it took some time. If you compare it, for example, to how Brandt returned, I think that approach is still something that I like a little bit more than the way Vash did it. It just took a little longer, I would say, and now we are getting to a level that is more representable for Vash. But it's good to see that she is reaching that level, because sometimes it could end up in a situation where you don't reach that level this season, and then it's a completely lost season. So thankfully that's not the case. And sometimes the tendency is there that when you have these, you know, good results, the irregularities can creep in, and then you have a complete off day at a certain race. So I hope that's not the case. But it's good to see that she is finding her rhythm, and I think that it looked also encouraging the way she was racing and making sure to keep the position. So I think that it's looking good, and hopefully she can maintain that over the next races that she will be doing. And yeah, potentially the chance of getting a training camp in and improve the form where she's at the moment. So it's promising. I definitely think that the position she's in right now is definitely not a bad position, and you can only grow from this situation. So hopefully she can do that.
Let's look at the entire top 10 then. Behind Pieterse, Alvarado, Van der Heide and Vash, we found Sanne Kant. Marie Schreiber ended 6th ahead of Zoë Bakstedt. Sarah Casasola ended 8th ahead of Annemarie Vorst and Annick van Alphen. Again, a good race for Sanne Kant. 5th, as we discussed here in Zolder. I'm not going to go over it again, but 3-time world champion is having one of the better seasons in the past years. the stupid discussion in the Belgian media that this will be the year that she gets beaten at the Belgian Championships can finally be put aside. She is clearly the best Belgian woman at the moment. She was ahead of Marie Schreiber. I think Schreiber and Backstedt both are putting in solid results. It's hard maybe to compare it to what they've done before, like especially Backstedt has shown glances that are better than it, but we can't forget how young they are. They're 19 and 20, or they still, that's their racing age. They still need to turn 19 and 20. They're young. There's potential in there. There's growth. And Schreiber, if I saw her today in that sandpit, holy smoke. She was flying through that in the first few laps. Like, she overtook 4 or 5 riders at some point there. That was really, really good. And we knew that she was a rider who did relatively well in the sand. But this well? I'm impressed. Like, I'm looking forward to see her race in Kokseide. I hope she goes there. And I think she could do really well just based on this sandpit.
Yeah, it was great to watch, and the determination and the grit on the face and just trying to get through it, it was great to watch. And I think that it's a skill that you can use in certain situations to your advantage. But as you said, I think that you're totally right on the fact that they are still quite young, relatively young, and they have to, you know, they're still in their development. So it will take time, and you will definitely have a very good race, and then you will have some couple of bad ones, and then we will judge them on the bad ones and forget the good ones, and the other way around. So I think that it's just important that we have to, you know, give them the time to progress through their seasons, and both have shown already the talent that they have. And I think for them in the end, these type of results are very good, but for them, both of them, for Schreiber and Backstedt, I think that they are having their eyes on the under 23 world title, and that is going to be a very interesting battle, because we can see that, you know, both are having their ups and downs, but it looks very good, and it looks like it could become a close battle in a way, and it's going to be interesting to see how that will develop and how they will reach Tabor. And you know, for them, it's just a matter of trying to get through the races without any injuries and with a good feeling, and, you know, get more and more confidence in the races that come.
Yeah, most definitely. And where definitely in the early season, it looked like Worlds would be an easy walkover for Backstedt. At the moment, Backstedt doesn't seem to have that level of form, which is okay, because there's still time. Going to LA for a mid-season training camp is far from ideal, I think. You can see from most riders who've traveled back to the US because they needed to that they're struggling a little bit now with the travel, with the jet lag, with the lack of freshness, which is normal. Another rider who's not on the same level at the moment is Sara Casasola. I don't think 8th is bad at all, but like, she's done better what we saw at Europeans and Maas Mechelen, but it's still good that she's consistently in the top 10. Vorst was the leader of the Super Prestige. She got beaten by Casasola. Vorst is definitely not having a great season. I wonder if we'll ever see like glances of that talent again, or if the level is just so much higher and she's unable to get in there. It's not her season. It's definitely also not her period of the season at the moment. Annick van Alphen, 10th, kind of said it already the past couple of times that form isn't there either at the moment. Then outside of the top 10 is Eva Holmgren, 11th. First year U23 runner-up at Junior Worlds last year. Impressive result for the Canadian champion. Like, 11th, that's really good.
Totally, and a bit of a shame that there was no attention really on the broadcast. But and then I'm talking about the Belgian broadcast. I don't know how Eurosport was handling it. But super solid result, and especially if you look the names where she finished the round, and you know, with Vorst and Van Alphen in front, Betsema behind, I think that it's a very, very solid result. And it's just, you know, these are the confirmations that we are getting from that potential that we know that there is. So it's just very good. And you know, you hope that with the transfer that they have made to Little Trek, and just that whole new environment that they will enter, that will just be a, you know, a bonus for them and for her and her sister as well, and that she can, you know, just improve more and more and just become better, I guess, and grow in that still very young career that she's in, and just develop. And that's for her now the most important thing. But these kind of results is just a confirmation of the potential that is there, and are just races that you need to, you know, get more and more confident in yourself and in, you know, make a name for yourself. And I think she already has done that, but it's just great to see.
Yeah, and definitely in these pretty, well, I would say the races are relatively packed at the front. I mean, not everyone is there, which means it's relatively easier to come in that 10 to 20 range, but that doesn't matter. We can see like a couple of young riders getting a decent string of results together here. I mean, Eva Holmgren 11th, that's definitely an improvement from where she was in Gavre, although that wasn't bad either. She was, I think, around the 15th place. Maybe she was, I think she was just outside of the top 20. But nevertheless, like, that's a good result for her here. Kat Ferguson, 13th. Big talent, especially on the road. Signed by Movistar already. Gonna race Women's World Tour in the summer. She's still needing to enter her second year junior, but, or this is her second year junior, I mean, a second season of road racing campaign as a junior. Like, super talented, comes in hot here. This is a course that suits her. As long as it's not technical, Kat Ferguson can do well, and she does do well. It's impressive. At the same time, am I really surprised by it? Not really. Why? Because they're super talented, and the level in the women's cyclocross, women's cycling, is raising. It's being increased. The youngsters are able to show themselves because of multiple factors, but they are able to show themselves. And last year we saw Lara Molengraaf pip into the top 10 of a couple of races like this. We saw that Isabella Holmgren and Eva Holmgren managed to get a decent string of results. They were around the 10 to 15 range a couple of times. Is it then therefore surprising that the best second years now, who I rate at least as high as the best second years we had last year, end in that same place? No, but do I take my hat off for it? Absolutely, because Kat Ferguson doesn't just keep a couple of people here on a holiday behind her. No, right behind her, Marte Truijen, Yara Kastelein. Both qualified road riders, sure, they're not racing here with the same mindset they were a couple of years ago. They're focused on road now, but Kat Ferguson still beats them, and that's something that needs to be respected. If we look at the 21st place, Raphaël Carrier, the Canadian and Pan-American champion U19, a first-year junior, 21st, finished the race on the lead lap. That's a good result. Imogen Wolf, another British rider, second-year junior, racing for Trinity, 25th. These are all good results for juniors, and I think that's telling for the way cyclocross is going. The level is being increased. Why does a rider like Annemarie Worst end 9th and not 5th anymore? It's because riders like Schreiber and Buxted have stepped up. And you see the next generation, like Schreiber and Buxted, being made in the ranks below. Buxted and Schreiber got these types of results when they were the age of Ferguson. Like, you can see how the next talents are in here, like Celicia Géry, French rider, should be included in this list as well. She hasn't raced here, but she has the same level. Victoria Chladonova, another rider. Like, the next generations of Schreibers, Buxteds, maybe even Peterses are being generated in these ranks of the results, and some of them will move up, some of them won't, but these are all riders that can look at this race, at this period of races, with a satisfied result. Well, and on that monologue about what I think is on with the level, I will end this episode of the Cyclocross Social Podcast. Issam, thank you for joining me. The clock has passed 11 p.m. It's time for us to wrap up and prepare for Lunau tomorrow.
Absolutely, and as you've said, it's a very thin starting field in Lunau. So, yeah, let's see what we will witness tomorrow in Lunau. And yeah, I wish everyone a very great night, day, whenever you're listening to this. And thank you for having me.
Yeah, we might not even make a podcast about Lunau if the level is like, if it's not worth it. But we'll see that tomorrow. We'll decide based on the racing goes, and if it's too short, not really worth it, we'll just include it in our podcast about Hulst a day later. Thanks everyone for listening, and as Issam said, whenever you're listening, have a great day or remainder of the day or whatever. We're going to wrap up and catch you guys soon. Goodbye.